know, some of these hymns that you listen to or that you sing, there's just no way that the anointing couldn't be upon them when they were writing these words. You know, the anointing of God plays such a big part when these were written.
And I do want to show a book. Arlene, thank you again for sharing this morning. It sounded beautiful. I wanted to share this book this morning. A friend of mine, we were having a breakfast at Lori's, my daughter-in-law, in Magnolia, LJ's restaurant. And we were talking about, I visited with an old friend who used to play the organ for me for weddings. And we were just sitting there talking about all the different kind of weddings we played for and stuff. And my waitress left the building. I mean, she was there 1 minute, next minute she was gone. Well, then she comes back. Here she was the librarian. And a week before, somebody had brought this book in, and they were going to throw it away. And it's called Then Sings My Soul. It's by Robert J. Morgan. And what it is the hymns are on one side of the book, and on the other side are a short story of how that hymn was brought about. So when I get done with it, Marlene gets done with it, you can feel free to read it too. But I've read a few of them, and they're very interesting stories. So you're more than welcome. I'd love to share it with you. So let's go ahead and move on. Our Sunday humor. Now, I'm kind of surprised about this first one. It said it was written by Mark Twain. I kind of question that, but this is what it says. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant. I would hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at just how much the old man learned in 7 years. And then this one I love, and this one I can see this one very, very true. Jerry Lewis. How many of us remember Jerry Lewis? Pretty much most of us, right? It says, Jerry Lewis said, when I was a kid, I said to my father one afternoon, Daddy, will you take me to the zoo? He answered, if the zoo wants you, they can come and get you. Now we know where Jerry Lewis got his sense of humor, right? For sure, for sure. Well, of course, today is Father's Day. And with Father's Day, like Mother's Day, there's a lot of different emotions that come to the surface, right? We all know that. And along with that, those emotions, comes blessings and challenges throughout the day. You know, some of us, you know, maybe we still have our fathers, but maybe we don't have the best relationship. Maybe it's a broken relationship. So there's emotions there. Or maybe your father's passed away, gone on to be with the Lord. And, you know, but it makes you think, like, for example, this morning it dawned on me that one of my old pictures of my kids was when we took the kids fishing, my husband and I, out at, by Wyanette, what was it, Lock, whatever that is, where the channel is. Anybody know what the name of that is? 17. Okay, so we'd go down there fishing almost every summer. Maybe once, three times a year we'd go down. And I found a picture of my two younger kids with their dad, and we were all fishing. Of course, they had to put the worm on for me, and they had to take the fish off once I caught it. And but I took that picture and sent it to my two kids, and I just put a caption under it. Your dad, you had a great dad. And that's all I did. I just sent that. So what I'm saying by sharing that is the fact that we sit today and we think about those special moments that we've had with our fathers, all of us, and how they provided maybe for us. I mean, I came from a family of 12, and my father, you know, we didn't have a lot, and we had a lot of hand-me-downs, but we had food on the table, and we had electricity, and we had water. And I know my father worked as hard as he could. He did his best, and that's all you can ever ask, if they've done their best. He was more towards the boys, the 8 boys. They always played ball all the time, and, you know, he was the coach for the baseball team,
and he didn't miss very many basketball games and that kind of stuff, you know. But he did teach me how to drive, so I can, but he was a good dad. He was faithful. But, again, maybe there's some of you in this room today that are excited because it is Father's Day and you're going to, like Glenn, he's going to see his daughter today. I'm not sure if any of you others are, if you're going to see family today. But, you know, it's just like I said, today is a mixture of all different kinds of emotions. But as a father, you learn and experience how to love in a way that words really can't, it kind of doesn't describe what it's like to love a child. And you remember how mothers, how we've said, wait till you get your own, you're going to understand. You're going to understand. Well, that's the same true with the father, you know, when you're going through things with your son or your daughter and you're trying to explain to them that, you know, I have to abide by these rules. Wait till you get your own and you'll understand. And this kind of love, it's an unconditional kind of love. And it makes us more aware then that even that love that we have for our children as fathers, can we imagine the kind of love our Heavenly Father has for us? So today what I want to share is there's four things that God wants fathers to learn and to experience. And you're thinking, oh, this is, maybe this is going to be dry, but this is not. Because it's just really kind of down to earth. The first thing is, God delights when fathers enjoy life. Fathers enjoy life. And the same is true of the earthly fathers. We want our children to enjoy life. As the Heavenly Father wants to see us, his children, enjoy life, earthly fathers want to see their children enjoy life. For example, let's say your kids are younger and they've never been to a parade or maybe a carnival, and you want to take them. Now, you've seen carnivals as you've grown up over the years many, many times, or parades, you've seen them many, many times. So it's not something that you're excited to go see. You're more excited to take your son or your daughter for the first time, or even as a grandparent. You're excited to take your grandson or granddaughter to something because you want to see the joy on their face. You want them to experience the fun of seeing a parade, the joy, the excitement. So, or to hear, Daddy, look, Daddy, look at the fire truck, or, oh, look at the clowns, because that brings you joy as a father. Another one, another good example, how many of you fathers, when it came time to put the tree up, the Christmas tree up, you had to put the lights on, and it was tedious. Now, my husband, I couldn't even tell you how many cords or how many light cords he put on a Christmas tree. But we always, when they were younger, we got the real tree. And he would spend the whole evening putting on these Christmas lights. And I'm almost sure he put lights on almost every branch. He had so many lights. And it was tedious. And I was like, that's your job. Go ahead, help yourself. I do not want to do that. And he did. He would sit there for hours, and he would put these lights on. It was like a three-phase thing. The first night was the lights. The second night was the ornaments. The third night was the tinsel, okay? Because then we let the kids the third night pretty much do the tinsel. You know, it was whoo, you know, one of those. But when he put those lights on, I mean, he just was so tedious about it. But when he turned those lights on, he wasn't looking at the tree. He was looking at the face of the kids. Because their faces would just light up and their eyes would get big like saucers. And they were like, and you could just see the light kind of bouncing off their face. And the look on their face was like, oh, whoa. To him, it was worth it. Those hours of spending doing that. It was so worth it to him to see that. It was worth it to him to go, you know, in the cold and get that real tree. It was worth it. And that's how it is. That's That's so true of what was in the bulletin day. Every man can be a father, but a true one is a dad. And that's what we want to talk about today. So as our father, that's what he wants to see for us. He wants to see us excited. He wants to see our joy. And he wants to see us thank him and show our appreciation for what he's done. As a father, that's where you find your joy, and that's where the father finds his. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing. And then it goes on and says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. And then 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And then 29, it says, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And then in the last one here, it says, then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So when we look at those scriptures, we see how God just didn't plop us here and leave us to our, you know, our own demise. He brought us here. He made sure that we were going to have everything that we needed. But then he added to it. He added to the earth by showing us his creation, the beauty of it. And it brings him great pleasure to look down when we notice the beauty of his creation. And we thank him for that. The sunsets, the sunrise. How many of us, okay, I'm going to see a show of hands. How many enjoy more the sunsets? Anybody? Okay. How about the sunrise? Okay, more sunrise. And maybe it's because of where you live. You can see the sun come up more than you can see the sunset. But God does these things. He puts these things there for us to enjoy. The mountains, the valleys, the oceans. I want to share a story about a wedding that I went to many, many years ago. And that particular day, it was raining. And it was dark. I mean, it was so dark. It was like an early summer wedding. Dark out. It was raining. It was terrible. And I felt bad for the couple. And they were the most happiest. I was so happy for this couple. They're just beautiful people. Everyone was excited for them. After the ceremony was over, the rain had quit. Now, picture this. In the back of the church was two big doors that opened up to the outside. Now, they didn't have air conditioning in this church. And it was early summer, and it was humid. So it wasn't so hot, but it was humid, and everybody was getting muggy, and the church was packed. And so they went to the back after the wedding was over, the bride and the groom, they walked down the aisle to open, and I don't know whether Dwight or Naomi, which one did it, the bride and the groom, they thought, it's so hot in there, let's open the door. You know, they were just leaving the altar and going down. They went down, and they both opened those doors. When they opened those doors, yes, it had stopped raining, but guess what? There was a double rainbow. A double rainbow. I've never seen a double rainbow. But that was God. I mean, and when they opened the door, the both of them said, rainbow. And we thought, oh, okay, that's nice. It stopped raining. And they go, no, a double rainbow. Everybody got out of their pews, and everybody's like hogging the aisle because we all wanted to see the double rainbow. They literally have pictures of the bride and groom standing at that door with those double rainbows in the back. I share that because God does these things because he's our Father, and he does them to see us go, oh, wow! He wants to catch us off guard and surprise us and bless us and show us his beauty, his creation. We can never top what the Father does. He always wants to show us his blessings and his favor because he enjoys seeing the expressions on our face. He enjoys surprising us. He enjoys giving us a joy and a peace and giving us those Kodak moments. He loves doing that for us. So we've got a Father that just wants to so much fulfill our lives in so many different ways. But to Him, it's called the gift of life. So number one, again, it goes back to the Father wants the earthly fathers to enjoy life. Number two, the Father wants you to know that you are not a bother, that you're not a bother to Him. You know, there was a survey, I saw this video, and there was a survey that was done where they asked teenage boys, maybe girls too, but they, in this particular video they were showing boys in this, and I'll explain that in a minute. They asked them a question. If you needed directions or if you needed instructions about something or you wanted to learn something, would you go to your father or would you go to Google? Sadly to say, 94% of these teens they asked said they would go to Google. Now, which I'm glad they had a backup plan for this, because what they did was they took these kids and they said, what would you like to learn? Well, the four top ones that they used was frying an egg, learning how to shave, a couple of them probably wanted to learn how to dance, and the other was to learn how to tie a tie. So they said, well, since you guys like to go to Google, these are the four things. Pick one out of those four things, and I want you to go to Google and see if they can teach you how to do that. So they did a video showing these kids using Google and learning how to either tie a tie or fry an egg. The one video they showed the kid, and he's sitting there scraping the egg off the skillet. I mean, it was burnt. I mean, it was bad. Whether he was supposed to put butter on it, I don't know. But I mean, it was not even scrambled. It looked terrible. You could see smoke, you know, kind of a little bit. And then one kid, he's trying to use the tie and he couldn't do it. And then the other one, he didn't even attempt to dance. He just, you know, he just didn't even do it. And what was the other one? Tie a tie, fry an egg. What's that? Shave. Yes, so shaving. So after they were, and they showed videos of them, and they did not do a very good job because they used Google. So they asked them, well, then before they asked them this question, they said, now that you've done it the Google way, we want you to do it the Father way. So the fathers came in. And these fathers, they were beaming. They were beaming. They weren't coming in there going, I told you so, attitude. They were coming in there saying, my son needs me. My son is going to let me show him how to do. They were so excited. I mean, not goofy excited, but you could just see their faces were beaming. That's how the Father is with us when we come to Him. His face is beaming that we would want to come to Him and ask Him for directions or guidance or peace or instruction. That's what these heavenly or these earthly fathers were doing. So they would come in and they showed one at a time. These kids weren't all together. They were in separate rooms. And so the father would come in and the father, they had a mirror and the two of them were standing in front of the mirror and the father was showing him how to shave. The father had the stuff on, the kid had the stuff on, and they were sitting there, and the father's showing the son how to shave. Now, the look on the son's face was awesome because it was like, if you could read his face, it was like, my father really knows what he's doing. Hey, this is cool. I like this time with my dad. This is, and his father didn't make him feel stupid or anything. There was such a moment, a Kodak moment with that I'll bet you the two of them, for as long as they live, will never ever forget that moment. But the great thing about that experience was, that was probably maybe the first time since they became teenagers, that he asked his father for help, or that his father, you know, I'm sure the father wanted to help him many times, but the son, you know, you get in those teenage years and you think, you know, I'm going to ask my friend first, or I'm going to go to Google first. I don't need my dad. They don't know everything, you know. But when you get those moments where you realize the dads aren't so bad, it just develops a relationship, and that relationship, you find yourself as the teenager going more and more to your father for things. And then they showed the video where the with the tie. And again, you saw that same expression on the father's face and the same awesome expression with the son. The relationship, there was a bond there that probably wasn't much there before. And then with the fried egg thing, it was really cute. It was really, really cute. And then the one with the dancing, the guy, the father knew rumba, so he was teaching his son the rumba. And they were having a great time. I share this story because technology is great, but look what it's done. It's pulled the kids away from their parents. Or the parents use technology to babysit their kids. And what happens? It allows the things of the world to come in and take over. And so when we pray today, we need to pray that the Father gives us wisdom and shows us there's a time and a place for technology, but there's also a time and a place for that closeness as parents and kids. So when they asked the kids later, those teenagers, in the future, which would you prefer when you want to learn something? Would you want to go to Google, or do you want to go to your father? Of course, every one of them said, I want to go to my father. I would go to my father first. So much was learned from that little practice that they did. In Jeremiah, it says in 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. See, again, it comes back to the Father is saying, just call me. Come to me. I'm there for you. I will show you the way, the truth, and the life. And the same is true with the earthly father. That's what we need to show our children. Number three, the thing that the father wants, that the heavenly father wants the earthly fathers to learn and experience is that you're not alone. You're not alone. I remember one time when we took our children to Starve Rock, and we got down in one of those canyons, and there was a big log across a little bit of a creek. Nothing major. Kids were probably about 8, 6, somewhere in there, maybe in that area. And I remember they crossed that log, and it wasn't anything major. We wouldn't have, you know, we didn't want to put them in any danger. But they were determined to walk over that log in that little creek by themselves. Now, as parents, you're like, oh, you know, you're just so concerned. But they were determined to do that on their own. So, of course, we let them do that. And I don't know whether, and as they did that, whether, and we must have been over on that side for quite a while, and I don't know whether the water came up or whether the weather started looking bad or whatever, but when it came time to come back over that log, they panicked. They literally froze. I don't know whether the wind picked up and it scared them. And they would not move. They were not coming across there by themselves. And so my husband, you know, went back over the log. And I actually literally have pictures of him, you know, having him like this. And he's trying to steady himself on this log, hanging on to one of them and bringing him back over the log and bringing him back to the other side. And then he went and got the other one and brought them back too. And, you know, let's go to, it says in Psalms 121, 1-3, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Father is saying, the Heavenly Father is saying to you, earthly fathers, that you're not alone in this, that He is with you. You know, probably most of you fathers here today are grandfathers, uncles, great uncles, whatever. But to you, those grandbabies are just as much yours as your others, your regular children. They're just as adorable, more priceless to you as your own children. And you would do anything for them. And sometimes as grandparents or great uncles or whatever, you sit back and say, what difference can I make for my grandchild? What difference can I make? And sometimes you feel alone, that you feel like you're not a part of what's going on. But you're a bigger part than you realize. My grandchildren, they called my husband Papa. To him, that was quite an honor. To him, sometimes hearing Papa was just as good, if not even better, than hearing Dad. None of the kids ever called him Father. They always called him Dad or Papa, because they had such a relationship with him. And that's what the Father wants us to do. It says in the Word that he's called Abba Father. That's his way of saying, I am not just your heavenly Father. I'm not only God. I want to be your Father. I want a relationship with you. I don't want a religion with you. I want a relationship with you, because I love you. After all, I gave my only son so that I could have that kind of relationship with you. That psalm in 121, that's a promise to you that he never sleeps, he never slumbers, but he's always there. Lastly, number four, your sin doesn't make you second class. As fathers, you see beyond the bad choices that your kids sometimes make. As fathers, you pray that God will steer them in the right direction as they get older. And there is nothing your child could do that will ever change the fact that he or she are your children. Nothing will change that, ever. The same is true with the Heavenly Father. There's nothing that you can do that's ever going to change the fact that you belong to the Heavenly Father and that He will always love you. You know, some people say, well, you know, what about those that die and go to hell? That doesn't stop the love of the Father. It's just the fact that that they will not be in the presence of God. They will be in hell. But that does not stop His love. I remember someone saying, his name was Jesse, he had talked to the Lord, and he said to Jesse, the hardest day is yet to come. And Jesse said to him, he says, what do you mean? He says, the day of judgment. And he goes, I thought the hardest day for you was dying on the cross. He goes, no. He says, the hardest day will be judgment. Because the day that I have to be judged to those who never accepted me as their Lord and Savior, I have to turn them away. He said, that will be the hardest day for me ever. So what's that telling us? That He still loves them. He loves them enough to say, let me get your attention now before you take your last breath. My Father sent me to die for you because He loved you so much. I loved you. I took your place. I love you so much. I took your place. I died for the sins of the world. He loves you that much. That love will never die. Even though that person goes to hell, that love will still be there, but they will be separated from God. So again, there's nothing that you can do that is going to separate you from your earthly father. You're always going to be their child. Now, in Luke, it talks about the prodigal son in chapter 15. And I can read it, but I don't want to take up all this time doing that. It talks about how the son gets his inheritance, and he leaves, and he squanders that inheritance. And then a famine comes, and now he's worse off because there's a famine. And he tries to take care of himself, but because of the famine, he's starving to death, and he says, I might as well just go back to my father. At least his servants there are getting fed better than I am. I'll go back and I'll be a servant. You know, I don't care. I won't be a son. I'll be a servant. So in Luke 15:20, it says, as soon as the father sees the son coming, he runs. Not the son running to the father runs to the son. And when the father sees the son, he grabs a hold of him by the neck and he kisses on him and he's so happy to see him. And then he says to the servant, get a ring for his finger, get a robe for him that I can put on him. And then he says, get the calf and kill the calf. And he said, get the sandals that I may put on my son's feet. These things are signs of honor. This was the father's way of saying, I honor you as my son. And the son says, forgive me, for I have sinned against heaven and against you. This is a parable, but Jesus was sharing this parable to show us that when we mess up, all we have to do is come with a right heart and ask for forgiveness. Because you can bet that Father, our Heavenly Father, just like the earthly Father, is going to come running to you. He's going to come running to you. He's going to grab you by the neck and he's going to kiss on you and he is going to pour out his blessings upon you. He's going to honor you because you received him as your Father. You received his Son, his gift to you, so that you could have eternal life. Because he asked his father for forgiveness, the father's unconditional love brought back that position that his son thought he didn't have. Because doesn't he say, I will go back and be a servant if need be. Second class. That's what Satan likes us to think, that we're second class, we don't deserve the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. The son didn't have to come back and earn it or work for that love or that position as a son. He didn't have to earn it or work at it. It was there to take. All he had to do was receive it. It was given to him because the Father's love and compassion. And with that love and compassion came forgiveness. If we see ourselves as the Father sees us, that we don't lose the love when we mess up, that it's a time to draw even closer to the Father, because that's what he wants us to do, so that we can draw close to him. It says here, as we do that, it shows the Father that we desire first to please him, to serve him, to be faithful to him, and the Father in turn celebrates, just like the prodigal son's father celebrated by killing the calf. The Father celebrates by pouring out his love, his compassion, his forgiveness, his mercy, and his grace to all of us. Amen? Now today, before we say our closing prayer, I would like the fathers to come up, if you could, please. Can you come up here?
trusted in the man. We trust in the Lord, whose hope is in him, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water, never fails to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17:7.
Thank you. That's God's promise, not only to you men, but as you dads, as fathers and dads. That's God's promise to you. We have one of these for each one of you. Thanks to Mary. We found these the other day, and we wanted to make sure we used them. And Mary reminded me. I put them on my desk and just let my mind remind me. Thank you, Mary, for that. And then also, we used to do this years ago. These are tokens for the car walk. So we did. One next to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
That's where the token is.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So what I want you men to do right now, and all of you as well, ladies, I would like you to stretch out your hands towards these men if you could. In faith, that's what you're going to do. But faith is an action, so I want you to put your hands out. Gentlemen, I want you to put your hands together, and I want you to follow the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for these men in this church. Father, you have blessed us with such wonderful, faithful, loving men of God. And Father, we just thank you for them. We thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you that you brought them here, Lord, and that they are part of the foundation of this ministry. And so, Father, we ask and we put anointing on each one of these men in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask right now that you pour out your favor, your blessings. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father, that you put your hedge of protection around about them. And, Father, that your wing hover over them and that no evil befall them nor any place come near their dwelling. And, Father, we thank you that you've made them the men that they are godly men. And, Father, we ask that you pour out not only your blessings and your favor, but Father, show them that you love them with that unconditional love. And let that unconditional love that you pour into them, pour out of them like a well of living water, and let it touch every life that they come in contact with from this day until